The following presentation is from North Pine Baptist Church. We trust that it will help you learn more about God and His message for the world. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.
Conversations that we get to have in that way, not for us. I'm used to it this year, one of our highlights is our response, Jesus is willing to offer Nicodemus a deeper insight into who he is and why he has come. You have to come. You want to be part of what God is doing. This is what you need to know. It says, be born again. It's a misunderstanding. Or maybe that's the position you started to default to in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe there's been some misunderstandings, some barriers, some defeated beliefs to going deeper. I invite you to explore the information that Jesus is going to give around John 3:16. Now, what does this demand of me? My expectation and my hope is that an encounter with Jesus provides the start and answer to the question, how can I know God loves me? If you find that in John, I jump up to verse 5, and we can make it come together. Nicodemus had misunderstood what it means born to be born again. So Jesus gets some more into He's talking about a born again process that involves water and spirit. To be born again is a process of spiritual renewal, of being made clean and transformed by the presence of God's Spirit. It's the great promise of Ezekiel 36 that will find fulfillment in the work of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I'll look at Ezekiel 36 on the screen with me, starting at verse 25. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put in a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and lead you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my words. You're a teacher of the law, and you don't get it. This is confrontational affection. Don't tell me that you expected that you could be a teacher and just understand part of his Old Testament. This is almost as already got access to the information as they feel 36. And there's an expectation that he's going to start connecting the dots. New life or rebirth is the promised word. And Jesus is in a sense, it's not like one of the things that comes to this life on chair. What he wants to do is to have been sent to give new life, rebirth. But how can we know that God loves us? God promises spiritual renewal. God doesn't see spiritual renewal as your problem to solve, but rather God offers himself as a solution in him. Now, that's the end of the conversation. In fact, that's just our context as we jump into verses 14 and 15 of John 3. So how can we know that God loves us? We just get three ideas. Because these having been the spiritual realities, it's to a spiritual renewal of being born again is difficult for Nicodemus to understand. And when one of the people encountering with Jesus is going to feel, I'm betting that some of us are going to find it challenging. The
sitting in the bed, verse 4, that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. It will help us understand what that means. And finally, one of the great ideas that this passage draws from is built throughout the Gospel of John, the idea of the full life. This is moments that connected to another moment in the Bible, and they'll start to give us an answer for how can we know that God loves us. So this is where we're going. We're going to answer this from the snakes, the Son of Man, and the full life. And each of them can sharpen our experience of God's love for us. I hope your eyes are better than mine. John 3, verses 14 to 15. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man lifted his head up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. So Jesus gives us the revelation connecting the snake in the wilderness of the Old Testament to what is happening when Jesus was lifted up on the cross. The snake statue is a practice form. Of the cross being a gift of life to the dying sinner. So let's read the story from Numbers 21. Now we're talking about the Israelites, back on their way into the promised land, they traveled from captivity in Egypt. They're now traveling along the map from Ashdod on the route to the Red Sea to go around there. And the people grew impatient. On the way, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's no water, for you to taste this miserable food." And the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. And then when anyone was bitten by a snake, they looked at the bronze snake. The story is somewhat straightforward. It's like rumble against God's blessing and protection and provision. God rebuked Israelites with a snake plague. The people confessed their sins. God released a snake. And the miracle is enacted. That snake statue is raised up to remind them of God's gift of life. Because people are given a means to commit to faith in God by looking up to the bronze snake. Now, I hope none of us are particularly familiar with that name. So, the kind of people that we really don't want to spend any time to with, that we don't know and we're grateful for them, but does anyone know what the symbol for Paramount are? The Australian College of Paramount's logo, to be precise. It's down the hole. The Paramount is definitely not the same for Paramount 21. I did some research. The first snake you wrote is considered the god of auspiciousness, which comes from Greek mythology. It would have been a cool connection. One quick and possible application for Numbers 21. If you didn't buy a snake, if you need to just don't go looking for bronze snake poles. Go to a four day mass, go to a doctor, get help that you need. But trust me, you don't go like this. When we see the snake statue of image, connect the snake story and the work of Jesus. Both were lifted up to offer God's mercy of life to the dying sinner. Nicodemus, in his understanding, doesn't get mad one that might feel a little bit strange. I want you to imagine that you're Nicodemus in that moment. As he's preparing Jesus' body, I wonder if that late night conversation played through his mind. I wonder if he thought about the same story that Jesus had said just as Moses lifted up in the smoke in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And so for the stone to speak to the Son of Man like that, that everyone who believes will have eternal life in him. I imagine life, full forever life, promised through faith in Jesus, looks impossible in this moment of death. But remember, the snake is just one of three ideas in our conversation. Let's look at the next, the Son of Man. It's a primary title Jesus uses to describe himself. It's actually his favorite self-designation. Jesus doesn't call himself, he says to witness, he would say, I'm Jesus Christ, he would say, I'm the Son of Man. And there's a particular reason for this. If you say, I'm the Christ and the Messiah, then everyone in the room has some expectations of what that's going to look like, what a kingly savior should be. Yet when you use Son of Man as a less familiar term, do you have any particular figures from history attached to it? Does it have these big eschatological expectations? And so Jesus could show what it means through his death, the ministry, and his resurrection. It is not that it doesn't come from somewhere in the Bible. Daniel 7. Let me read it for you, starting at verse 18. In my vision, I sat and looked, and there before me was one like Son of Man. My confrere said, Son of Man. This is going to show what the Daniel Son of Man looks like. But we're starting to get a picture of what it might be. Come with the clouds of heaven. Yet face the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. If you have a terrifying picture of what the Ancient of Days looks like, read it earlier in Daniel 7. Amazing throne room of sin. But yet, the Son of Man before the Ancient of Days, who's given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and all people of every language worship him. There's only one person who worships in the Bible, and that is God. It is figure in being worshipped as God. That's significant. The dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So from Daniel 7, the Son of Man is understood as having the complete and full authority of God. A faith worthy of total worship. He holds on his shoulders the full expectations of God's people who long to see God's kingdom established on earth. The Son of Man might have been less familiar to the Jews, but it was not a low-balling title. Jesus is going to build on what it means, because we can have our expectations of what Jesus is meant to look like, but we get to see what Jesus describes himself and how his life shows. But Jesus doesn't confirm the trajectory that we might expect. Jesus will show through his life and death that the authority holding Son of Man is also a suffering servant set by God. The Son of Man will give up his life on a cross and will rise to life again. And this event will inspire people to believe what Jesus has been through, that life is found in following Jesus. So how do we know God loves us? So the question, how do we know God loves us? How do we need to just know that God loves him? Even if he prepares Jesus' body for burial, and perhaps 3 days later, when Nicodemus, that body has risen to life. Nicodemus considered that all that Jesus showed the Son of Man to be. He came to marvel that his Son of Man was sent and given to die on a cross eternal life is a tricky concept to wrap our heads around. The idea that my brain might have to go to first, which is eternal, is the forevermore of us. Time kind of without end. And though I like the thought of not being rushed or limited by time, that has some appeal. Doesn't feel like a full enough picture of eternal life. The gospel John is going to help us with this is that two ideas that are less about the quantity of time and more about the quality of time for eternal life. I wonder, have you ever waited in line at the emergency room? Centrelink, and the apartment, and the transport, and main roads. These moments are full of quantity of time. I might suggest the quality of time from getting it from life. Here's what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. John 17. It speaks of life to the fullest with Jesus. Jesus comes to bring life of the highest quality. Life aligned with God's design. But a warning. Pursuing life to the fullest without Jesus can simply be abused as freedom to wanting to pursue our desires and claiming the line with God's plan. My experience is much more about the same part of my life to Jesus, surrendering and swapping my desires for Jesus' desires, has resulted that what I'm seeking out of life is changed. Service may previously felt more like a loss, something that has been given up, but service aligns with Jesus' purposes, it assumed a new vision for life. Let me try and put some more concretely. I think my mind might be accepted. Let's put it more concretely. I just come off 5 weeks leave. And this has been 5 3 nights in a row during the school term. Now, I did a little mess. I worked out that people on stage seem to say are older in the amount of time I've spent at school Friday night in the newsroom. This is a rare occurrence. Yet Friday night, this team's met and served as uncomfortable, though I was not really our teams, I could pray for them. And how do you say that after the battle? Great teams. God has a lot in my heart. The fullness of life and in supporting young people to engage with Jesus. And God offers a fullness, the quality of new life, found in embracing Jesus' desires for us, which is greater than our own comfort, our own preferences, or predispositions. Jesus embraces the life that is bigger, greater, and greater than anything that we might be tempted to settle for. And so there is a response we can have to this moment. Firstly, Lord, the God who comes that you might have life and have it to the full, shows that God loves you. And secondly, the way you could respond to God's love is ask, how is God calling me into service that would show me the fuller way for life? For me, to be a gift of life, I found that supporting young people can work with Jesus. And our team, Kidzone and Sundays, Junior Youth and International Fridays, each is looking for really new teams in this church. People who love Jesus, love young people, and our team is just showing that by really screened and trained. So that would be 9 new team members to make precision this ministry for sustainable growth, and also as the most tangible way you could show music to love adults and it's willing to be friends and friends,
we have more comforts to sell. But there is welcome maintenance to the other things we're going on. There is a place for you to have this full life that Jesus offers. So if you're looking for a reason that's if you're going, I can be one of those people, I want to step into that full life that Jesus offers, send me a Pastor Alan or the office on that. We'll help you go on from there. Of eternal life to heart and the gospel of John comes from John 7:23. This is eternal life that they know you, that only through God and Jesus Christ can you receive. To know Jesus, this intimate relationship with Jesus, bridges the experience of now and eternity. Jesus is more than the ways of full life. Jesus is full life. The way of saying that is that there is no full life without Jesus. And this is why Jesus makes the claims such as I am the way, the truth, and the life. Often, from John 14. Relationship with Jesus must saturate everything that we do here at North Point. It's the defining factor of life for the Christian now and for eternity. How can we know that we are loved by God? God has sent Jesus, and through Jesus we have access to life, full life, and we must know that with Him. So, we all together. How can we know God loves us? Before we too quickly jump to John 3:16, great verse, take some time in John 13 and 16. Please add that to your memory verse. Remember this next verse, this great statue. And Jesus on the cross was lifted up that dying sinners may have new life. Remember the Son of Man, Jesus' own favorite title, used so that we don't make our own assumptions, but rather explore from Jesus himself who he claims to be and what he claims to do. And remember the quality of full life Jesus pursues. A full life defined by intimate relationship with Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty loving Father, we desire assurance that we are loved by you. Thank you for showing us the fullness of your love by sending the Son of Man. Jesus, thank you for your commitment to love when you were lifted up to die on the cross. Holy Spirit, cleanse and transform us so that we may pursue the full life found in relationship with God. And help us to take the next step in response to how you have spoken to us today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, the benefits of coming up on stage as they come, this modern life celebrates the ways in which our young people have been serving us. We are really committed to staying active in youth ministries, making mature disciples of Jesus. For it's a great joy to see that each young person belongs to you. The purpose of services are possible because of the commitment of some of our people, but also the families and the teams that have served them over many years. It's my delight to have been there for so many of them. Disciple making is always a long-term commitment. So I want to commend our young people for their ongoing commitment, consistency, and presence in care for their church. And young people, you have more than just a future. You have God as a leader at work and forever. And that's going to be a glorious day. Jesus' resurrection is a glorious day too. A glorious day too is also when a person believes in Jesus and a new life has begun. Let's do it.
Thanks for joining us for this presentation from North Pine Baptist Church. For more information and to connect with us, visit npbc.org.au.